Welcome back to Unyielded, Thriving No Matter What. I'm your host, Bobby Kaler, and I'm so happy that you've joined us. As the creator and host of this podcast, it is critical to me to convey to you, our listeners, how much positive power you have inside of you right now, in this very moment. You have the power to change your life. And that could be changing it, like I had to back when I was 23, from a place of kind of being on a road to nowhere, kind of feeling hopeless and stuck, to being on a road to somewhere desirable, someplace good. It could also be changing your life from good to great. And it could also be changing your life from great to, I cannot believe how incredibly blessed and lucky I am to get to live this life. You have that power inside of you, and that is all you need to get started. The rest, you can learn along the way. I started this podcast as a way to bring stories of hope and triumph, as well as resources that will help you along that journey, whatever that might be, whatever your starting place is, or whatever your destination might be. My sincerest hope is that you find it valuable. So let's go. Here is this week's episode. Before introducing this week's guest, I want to tell you something that I'm super excited about. It's a new segment of the Unyielded podcast called Rise and Thrive. It's going to be coming out on Mondays, and it's intended to be fuel for you, fuel for your week, and fuel for mastering your life. They're very short segments, somewhere between 5 to 10 minutes, and they're intended as a kickstart for your week. So I hope you tune in, watch for them coming in October. My guests this week are all about helping entrepreneurs live out their purpose and their legacy so that they can have a fulfilling and meaningful life. In our conversation, we dive into things like how to set up your guardrails so that decisions become easier, how to figure out your North Star and why that matters, and also how to make sure that you aren't just creating a hamster wheel for yourself. Their names are Nick Agarkar and Casey Berman. They are both accomplished entrepreneurs, and I hope that you're going to enjoy meeting them as much as I did. Casey, Nick, thank you so much for joining me here on the Unyielded podcast.
Thank you for having us, Bob. We're excited to be here.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for this conversation. You know, JD set it up, and I thought, let's just dive right in. Tell us about, because when I first heard BAM and Company, I'm like, okay, well, tell me about this. What's BAM mean? So you guys want to explain what it is and what you do?
Sure. So I actually had this idea when I was scrolling on Instagram. And I, you know, I'm an entrepreneur myself. I've started a couple of online side hustles because it's 2021 and that's what everyone does these days. And, you know, I was just getting served these ads after ad after ad of gurus telling me about how I need to, you know, scale my business and, you know, you can get more sales if you just did this one thing. And I was noticing a pattern in every email that these people sent where it was like one catchy line and then a paragraph about some trouble that they had. And then they used a secret system that grew this seven-figure business.
Yeah.
It's always secret. It just occurred to me, and I looked in the background of these people, and I actually did some introductory calls with these folks, and I was like, they have no idea what they're doing. They don't know what good looks like in business. They are selling just a course. What they're doing is scamming people. And this kind of made me angry, right? And so I had a chance encounter with our third partner, Juan Montoya, JD, who you mentioned earlier. And I was talking to him about this, and I was like, you know, there's got to be a way that we can get good business practices to entrepreneurs who really are out there leading with their hearts, right? They're creating something that they're passionate about that really could change the world. And really, it's the way the direction the economy is going, right? Small businesses are growing exponentially faster than any large corporations. So I was talking to him and he was like, you know, Nick, there's no one really like you out there who's an attorney, gone into management consulting, started businesses. And I said, what if I told you I know someone exactly like me and he lives in San Francisco? And that's my other business partner, Casey Berman. And BAM comes out of our last names, right? So it's catchy, right? but it's Bourbon, Agarker, and Montoya. So that's us. That's Bam and Company. It's kind of our origin story, but I'll let Casey introduce himself.
Perfect.
Yeah, folks call us the Bam Boys. And Nick called me and said, hey, you know all that stuff that you do for Fortune 500 companies and big corporations and unicorns and startups and public companies? I see. He says, do you want to share that and like really help bring your true self to content creators and small businesses? I said, yeah, where do I sign up, right? So I'm Casey Berman, and I always joke I was a Jewish kid who didn't like blood. So I didn't go to medical school. I went to law school. That was about as critically as I thought about this big investment in law school. And I realized it's not just Jewish folks. It's you name it, ethnicity, the region. And it's not just law, it's business, investment banking. And a lot of people went down this beaten path. And for the parents, for to security, stability, they were told to do it or whatever, right? And some people stay in, some people like it. Hey, all the power to them. Some people hate it, but repress it and stick with it until their deathbed. And then other people have that courage and hear that voice and do the very difficult thing, which is to leave and start their own business. And so I've done that. And I think, you know, part of BAM, what we're doing is, I'll be selfish. It's help the way that we help small businesses, entrepreneurs, the creator economy, you know, to grow and develop and scale, all that we help them do to really make decisions. I mean, I get such meaning out of that. I get such purpose out of that. And we're helping these people. We'll give you examples, but I just sit there and say, I pinch myself and say, really? I get to do this. And part of the journey, I think, with BAM, and we've got four clients already. We just launched a few months ago, but part of the journey is not only providing that value to others, but I think we all look around and realize like, subconsciously, this is part of our personal growth of mine and Nick and JD. So that's a little bit about me and why we started BAM and really the benefit that our clients are getting and that I'm getting.
Yeah. And I think that's important too, when you're seeing the benefit as well, because we're not just doing this for ourselves, right? And Casey, you said something there, you know, you start down that path and some people, for whatever reason, right? The pressure could be from parents. It could be just what's expected. It could be a lot of different things. But I've had so many guests on who have talked about that, like starting on a path and then realizing, man, this path is not for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you were an attorney, also turned management consultant.
That's right. And, you know, I'll never forget, I was an attorney. I had the job all attorneys wanted. I was in-house counsel, a tech company in San Francisco, you know, .com, you know, imagine dogs running around, free lunch, all the movies. That was me, right? I had the job, everyone. And I knew I'm 47 now. This was in my late 20s. Like I had general counsel, Silicon Valley. That's where I was going. And even though that's a job every attorney wanted, I looked at it and said, that's not what I want. Yeah. And I heard a voice and I'll never forget. My wife was a teacher at the time, my girlfriend at the time, and she went to Australia on a teacher funded education trip. And I was waiting for her to come. We were in the airport and I saw Rich Dad, Poor Dad in the Sydney airport. Okay. Not the best written book, right? I even spotted some typos in it, but I'll tell you, it opened my mind. And what it did is I heard a voice that there's, you know, I think of Neo in the Matrix or something. I started seeing and hearing that there's another existence possible. And I don't want to get too woo-woo, but there was this element of like, wait a minute. And, you know, I think the people, the creator economy, a lot of the entrepreneurs you have, a lot of entrepreneurs we work with, really where the beauty that the internet has enabled, they've heard this voice. They've felt that tug. And what's beautiful about it is they've had the courage to not ignore it.
Yeah.
And maybe they didn't go right away, right? But they said, wait a minute, there's something. And, you know, they didn't quit their job or do this right away, like it says in the movies, but they kind of gradually move forward. And I just admire them for it. I admire them for listening to that voice, because once you hear that voice, it's hard to deny it if you really let it in.
Yeah. And it is a powerful thing. And some people, to your point, they do ignore it. I had one guest on my show, he's a dear friend of mine. His name's Doug. And he was talking about hearing that voice. But you know, he had kids and he's got a family and all this. And that's what happens, right? And one night he realized like his prayer for his kids is that they would live their most beautiful and authentic lives. And he's like, how can I be a role model for them if I'm not doing it for myself?
That's right.
And that's a big tap on the shoulder.
Yeah, it's huge. And Nick and JD and I, like all of our sessions are like therapy sessions. They're strategy sessions, but therapy. And you know, I really look, there's really a choice, and the choice is between fear and love in life. Yeah. And fear is anxiety and mm-hmm. and feeling overwhelmed, paranoia, and love is obviously romantic love, but it's also collaboration. It's also being vulnerable. It's also taking a stand, building a movement. You know, love is many different things. But when you break it down to those three, when I break it down to that choice, it sort of gives you a stark, you're going to go this way or you're going to go that way.
Yeah, that is a great way to think about it.
Yeah.
The choice between, because at the heart of it, that's what it comes down to. I love that.
And if you unpack it even more, and Nick's heard, you know, Nick and I, we've riffed on this with JD, and JD's even more tapped into the universe than I am. But you feel, you can also say, like, there really is only love. Fear is the absence of love. Like, there is no fear. We could go there. I think a duality is good. Like, okay, choice for people in our mind. But when you really think of the matrix that we're in, like, it really is all love. But, or then there's the absence of love. But you can call that fear. I'm getting in the weeds. But yeah, that when I get those moments, like, I'll have an anxiety, you know, something. It's like, wait a minute, what am I choosing? Just like your dear friend, is he choosing fear to live through fear? Is he choosing to live through love or confidence or clarity or something like that?
Yeah, that's a great way to position it. It really is, because that makes that choice way easier. Very much so. And Nick, I know that you said your transition from attorney to management consultant came with a bit of a personal crisis, maybe, or after?
Yeah, no, all of that. So, you know, when I think about, you know, your friend saying, I've had that voice in my head, Casey and I have actually talked about this before. Where do those voices come from? And I'll posit that they come from our parents, right? Our parents are our first impression of life, of what's going on. You know, there's early childhood development studies now that say that our subconscious is really formed between 6 months and 4 years of age. So at that point, right, what do you know? All you know is everything your parents tell you, right? And I still remember this. When I was in second grade, I brought home a report card. And the report card said, Nick is very argumentative. And I'm seven, right? So I asked my mom, I say, Mom, what does this mean? I'm very argumentative. And she looks at me and she says, you're going to be a great lawyer. And literally, that was the day in my life that it was decided I was going to go to law school. So there wasn't a question at seven, right? So when I graduated from college, there wasn't a question of what I was going to do next. I was going to go to law school. And so what happened, I became a litigator and I owned my own law firm. I built it and sold it within a year. So I'd done a lot of stuff in the practice of law and I did very well. But for 14 years, I was just fighting. My days constantly were just fighting with everyone. And frankly, that plus the voice in my head ruining my life, right? It's absolutely ruining my life. And, you know, it came to the point where my wife was like, we need to fix this or we can't stay married. And we had two children at this time, young children. I mean, my boy's only 2.5 now. This was 3 years ago. So she was pregnant. And, you know, so it was that severe, right? I mean, you think about a woman who's 5 months pregnant saying, wow, I don't think I can stay married to my husband, right? So this was a powerful moment for me. And we went to counseling and we did a lot of this sort of deep work on, you know, what is your family background, right? And, you know, the therapist was like, you know, Nick, it really sounds like your mother might have narcissistic personality disorder. Has anyone ever told you that? I was like, you know, my brother's a psychiatrist. I think I would have mentioned, that, right? Yeah. So shortly thereafter, I call my brother and I'm like, hey, this lady's saying, you know, all this stuff. What do you think? He's like, dude, I told you this when you were in school and you just didn't want to listen to me. I went through 7.5 years of therapy because of what we lived through. So I did some real deep soul searching. And I went to a lot of alternative and mainstream sort of therapies to rewire that voice in my head, right? So to really reconfigure how I approach life, how I approach the world, and really what Casey was saying, you know, fear being the absence of love. For me, it's just fear being the absence of any heart-centered connection, right? There was no sort of emotional connection to the world or the people around me. Right. And this is a symptom, and anyone can really go on YouTube or Google. The rabbit hole I fell down was quite deep. Sort of what happens to the children of parents with narcissistic personality disorder. And it can become quite severe, the behavioral issues that those folks have. Right. I'm one of them. And so, really doing that deep dive and that deep work brought me to the understanding that spending my days as an attorney is not who I am. That's not me, right? That might be what my parents wanted for me, but that's not my voice. My voice is something completely different, right? It's really helping people figure out how do I build this thing that will set me free? And really, that's what we're trying to do with entrepreneurs, right? So many entrepreneurs, you know, trade one hamster wheel for the other, right? They go from working, you know, 80 hours a week for a boss to working 100 hours a week for themselves, and they call it better.
Yeah.
Because at least I'm working for myself. The reality is, and what we really want to preach and talk to everyone about is, you did this for freedom. Really? I mean, to really feel free, right? Feel free to take control of your time, your calendar. You get to call the shots, right? So now that you're able to make decisions, let's make really good decisions. Yeah. Let's not make bad decisions or minimize the downside to the decisions that you make. And really, that's why we started trying to bring these frameworks from large corporations to the entrepreneur world, is because we see these people, they're almost there, right? They're like, they've got probably 3/4 of the pieces, right? That they did it, you know, that courage to stand up and walk out and say, I'm going to go do this on my own. You know, I'm going to be free. I'm going to take control. Wow. Powerful. Amazing. Right. But
courageous. Now what?
Right. Yeah. Oh, beyond courageous. Courageous.
Yeah.
But now what? Right. So it's like the scene at the end of The Graduate, right? Where, you know, Dustin Hoffman in the church, he's got
pounding on the window.
Yeah. Now they're on the bus. Oh, that was cool. But so now what? Now what do we do? Now we got to get married. what do we do next? So that's a long way of saying that I went through some stuff to get to where I am now.
Yeah. And you know what? Talking about your mom, I mean, my mom was, I always say that she was the most amazing person and one of the most troubled, and sometimes at the same time. She's what was known as a functioning schizophrenic. So she could be really amazing. And other times you're like, that's really odd. What's going on? Like with the paranoia and everything. And it is a lot to dig out from, because it does affect you as a kid. It really does. So, congratulations on having the courage to dive into it. Cause it's, sometimes you encounter some dark places there on that journey. I had to do that. And man, it's a lot. So I love what you're talking about there. And I also love when you said helping the entrepreneurs, so they make this jump. And I always think about it this, when I became an entrepreneur, it was 21 years ago. And I saw this thing that said, congratulations, you're your own boss. Bad news, your boss is a crazy person. I'm like, I did not know how true that was going to be. And so what are some of those decisions you had, those frameworks that you mentioned? What are some of those decisions or frameworks that they need to think about?
Yeah, I mean, and Casey, jump in here. I think it's really setting up that North Star, right? That strategy, here's where I want to go. So it's strategy is a word that gets kicked around a lot. And really, when you boil down to it, strategy is just an interconnected set of activities that will drive to a goal, right? And so you set these goals, you set a vision statement, right? So many people set vision statements, and either they were taught poorly on how to do that, or they don't know how to do that, right? How to really craft like a deep dive into a value and vision kind of ideation workshop to really dial that in. But they might have that vision, right? Okay, so now how do we build out a strategy to execute on that vision? And it's really setting up that framework as guardrails to your business, right? So that when that opportunity comes along that could make you $1 million and a huge opportunity, but it won't execute on your strategy. It won't get you to where you want to go. It'll make you some money, and in the short term, you'll have some good times. But long term, that's not where you're going. And so when you have that framework, you can actually say, you know what? Sounds great. Not for me. You know, here's someone else that might, you know, you might want to talk to. And when you can make that high level decision and really stay on course, that's when you know you've really gotten off that hamster wheel. Because so much of the time, you know, people talk about, well, don't get shiny object syndrome, right? And for the large extent, a lot of entrepreneurs are great at not getting shiny object syndrome. But what they're also really good at doing is rationalizing why this shiny object actually totally fits into what they want to do, right?
Right.
So they kind of take this square peg and push it into the round hole and say, no, you don't understand, it totally works, right? Without really thinking it through, because they don't have that framework, right? And that's kind of the baseline of how we approach people. And then we move from there.
Yeah.
You know, there's a great story that I'll butcher the story, but it's a farmer needs some help making fences, hires this guy. The guy does a phenomenal job. He leaves for the day. The guy just builds fences, strong guy, builds fences all around, does everything he needs. He comes back like, oh my God, this is phenomenal. This is exactly what I needed. Come back the next day, I got more work. He says, great. He brings him the next day. He's got all of these potatoes. And he says, look, I need you to take all the potatoes, put the good ones here, put the bad ones here, and put the ones that are kind of in the middle, put them here. And the guy, farmer, walks away, comes back 8 hours later, nothing's been done, just a little bit. And he's like, what's going on? Like, you did great with the fences. Like, why is there nothing here? He goes, decisions, decisions, I'm out of here. The reason CEOs get paid a ton of money, we can argue what the number should be, but the reasons also that content creators and entrepreneurs are doing what they're doing is because, to be their own bosses, they want to make their own decisions.
Yeah.
And they feel confident in their decisions because it fits their purpose and their meaning and so on. But to what Nick was saying, if you don't have that framework, if you don't know how to make a decision, you're going to go and be on the hamster wheel or maybe even go out of business. And at BAM, that's what we really do, because you can provide clarity and confidence and all of that. What we really help you do is give you that framework to make the decisions that you need to make quality decisions, to do them well, and to make a lot of them. And so, like, one example we gave with one of our clients, fantastic coach, he's in the health and fitness area, coaches other folks to build their business. He had an idea of a thing he wanted to build out. And we said, does this fit with your vision? And he said, ooh, it doesn't. And we said, I don't think you want to do this. It sounds great. It's fun, but this is a distraction. It's taking you away from your North Star. And we even had to call him back and say, hey, sorry for raining on your parade there. But another thing we had was a decision with another client around who his ideal client was. He has a whole team, marketing and sales and funnels and all of that. Who are you selling to? Not only that, who do you want to sell to? Who do you want to bring into your community? And so it's that North Star that then we enable him to make these decisions. And so it's that type of work that we do at BAM, but it also comes to that question of the process and the guardrails, where all of a sudden making a decision, you're not getting stressed about it, you're not anxious about it, and you're also not having to make that decision of, oh my God, I'm in a hole, I got to fire employees. You're ahead of the game. So that's a lot of what we work on, but also that's something that we work internally in ourselves and at BAM on a personal and professional level, is how do we really have that framework where we can make that decision? Like we talked about early, you know, really can make that choice.
Yeah. And I think when you have the framework, you're not starting at zero every single time you have a decision to make, right?
And, you know, Bobby, the thing that comes to mind for me is that in the world we live in the social media age, everything seems to need to be instant, right?
Yeah.
It's like everyone has to be an overnight success. If you're not making $1 billion within a year, you've failed, right? Which is just such baloney. Like, I mean, complete garbage, right? I mean, every large corporation right now that's, you know, what, half the market cap of the NASDAQ started in garages and were not overnight successes. You know, Ray Kroc famously stumbled into McDonald's at 52, right? And people were calling him an overnight success. And he said, yeah, well, the night was 48 years old.
I love his story. I love that book.
Oh, yeah, that book, that movie, everything about that story, the actual like case study at the Harvard Business Review, it's all fantastic. But the point that I take away from Ray Kroc is just be persistent and patient. And anything is possible on a long enough time horizon, right? And I think one of the critical pieces that we've seen that a lot of entrepreneurs miss is that when they set this vision or they set a goal, the time is just completely unrealistic, or there isn't a timeline set, right? So it's either, you know, I'm going to do all of this within a year. No, you're not. Or it's, I don't know how long it's going to take me. This is such a critical piece to being able to make the right decisions, right? Because, you know, what I saw, and really one of the impetuses of me starting BAM, is it was just constantly pushing, you need to run ads, right? You need to run more ads. You need to run better ads. Your ads need copy. Everything was advertising. There are so many other ways to grow your business other than paid advertising that it's not even funny. That's just one possible marketing channel, right? There are many different channels that you can use, but it's the only one that these gurus pitch because it's all they know, right?
That's
so, you know, one of the things that, you know, can really get you off of that hamster wheel is take that pressure off is if you set the appropriate timeline within that framework to say, okay, well, I don't need to run ads even this year because my game is a 7-year plan, right? So, and I'm going to break it down into quarters, right? Each quarter of the 7 years. And then from there, I'm going to break it down into each month. And then we're going to talk about what am I going to be working on that goes with the strategic vision? So it's all of these kinds of frameworks that are used consistently at teams in Fortune 500 companies that just aren't in the entrepreneurial world. And why not? Why not? It works really well. Yeah.
But as entrepreneurs, we're so impatient.
Right.
You know what I mean? This was, I think it was in 2002. I was at an entrepreneurial conference and someone quoted, and I think they were quoting Anthony Robbins. I'm not sure. But the quote was something like, we vastly overestimate what we can do in 1 year and vastly underestimate what we can do in 10. And
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Ears are burning. I was thinking the exact same thing.
But it's so true, isn't it? You know, and we have that impatience. Like, we got to make it happen. So that stirs up a couple of questions. First of all, how does someone know what is the right time frame?
I mean, again, I think that goes back to almost like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Like, what do you need and when do you need it by, right? So, you know, just really thinking through, okay, well, so if you don't know what you want and when you want it, well, that's a different conversation that we have to have, right? But let's say that you know what you want. Well, you start thinking through like, okay, well, when do you want this by, right? And often I will find myself using my children as sort of keeping the time, right? So by the time my girl graduates from 7th grade, here's where I'd like to be. So I know I have about 7 years to do that, right? And, you know, by the time that she's ready to go to college, okay, here's where I'm going to need to be, right? And so there's multitude of ways that you can mark
That's
time.
That's nice.
I use my children just because that's who I live for, right? So that's kind of one approach. There are a ton of different approaches, but really just thinking through what do I want and when do I want it by? Realistically, not, okay, listen, everyone would love $1 billion in a year. Not realistic. So let's talk about, you know, what's realistic for you this quarter. Let's break it down, right? Like anything else, like take this big problem and break it down into chunks and then solve for each of the chunks.
Yeah.
I break it down by sports seasons, baseball, basketball.
Football preseason right around the corner.
Yeah, right around the corner. I can't wait.
NBA draft, Major League Baseball trade deadline, all that. I'm here in the Bay Area. So my
blowing
teams,
up today. Yeah.
My teams are in there. So there's a few ways I'll answer it is how do you determine the timeline? I think the first question is the timeline for what? Timeline for launch, timeline for retirement, timeline for hiring. So what is it? What's the end in mind? One thing as consultants and as strategists that we do, particularly with the big companies, but I will never leave a project with a Fortune 500 company, with anyone really, without saying, what does success look like? Let's keep the end in mind here, right? So that's the one thing. And so if you have a book launch, if you have like the client, an agency that you want to launch a marketing. So what is the end in mind and work backward? Now the end in mind might be next February. You have a launch. Okay. Maybe it's March, maybe it's April, but like what work back that way. So that's kind of taking that strategy, assuming that project, that tactic that you have, I'm going to launch a marketing agency fits that vision, assuming that's in alignment. All right, great. And Nick is a genius at this is one thing we do. Once we have the vision, what I love what we do at BAM is we also act on it. And so Nick takes you through, we all do, but Nick's fantastic at just really taking this amorphous idea and giving you the steps to move forward. We create a heat map that helps you understand what's late, what's on time, all of that, right? Okay. The thing from more of a personal side as an entrepreneur is I have two children too. And so for me though, Mark Manson, the writer, markmanson.net, a great writer. I love him. Sign up for his email. He's just really sharp, really smart, does swear a lot, but that's fine. He throws his things in there and salty language, but that's fine. He defined happiness as the process of becoming your ideal self. Notice he didn't say journey.
That's right.
Now you could say adventure. I like the word adventure, but journey, we have this idea in Madison Avenue and all the advertisers want us to have a journey because once you reach the end state, once you buy the phone or the Lexus or whatever, you're happy. Well, we know that doesn't work, but we still fall prey to it, right? And a lot of it was what Nick was talking about earlier with the copy on a web page going, once you learn my secret, when you click the button below and give me your credit card, you'll be happy, whatever.
Yep.
But I like how Mark Manson said it's a process. Now, it's not sexy. It's not glamorous, but it's literally overcome obstacle, choose love over fear, fall back into fear, pull yourself back out. You know the process. We've all been through
That's
it.
Right.
And then ultimately make 1.5 steps, not, you know, 2 steps back, 2.5 steps forward. You're literally half a step forward. And that's the process of movement, right? Jim Rome, I'm going to butcher it, but he said something like, you know, $1 million is great, but really the goal of $1 million is not only having that money, but also the person you become as making the money, right? I butchered it, but I think you get the idea. So for me, when it comes to a timeline, how you determine that timeline, it's step one, step two, step three, rinse and repeat. Mm-hmm. And some people look at me and they're like, you're nuts. You mean my life is literally a bunch of processes? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one takes you to the next one, which takes you to the next one. It's not just a hamster wheel, the same process. You step up, you're getting into different gears, but that's kind of the timeline. And I definitely have my linear timelines, but I think of this in a more holographic way, which is kind of the theory of relativity Einstein and all the sages have talked about, right? This is what Buddha, Jesus, the kingdom is within, Deepak Chopra, Einstein, this is what they all, quantum physics talk about. Like we think of time as linear, you know,
yep.
2021, 2022, it's really not. I mean, time bends. And so, but that's kind of how I view it and definitely keep track. I definitely look at years. I definitely celebrate goals. But for me, Mark Manson really inspired me to look at what I'm doing as this process, not even of improvement, but just continuing to become that ideal self.
Yeah.
And really, you know, one of the things Casey and I talked about is for me, for us, I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, it's about legacy. And mm-hmm. it's about what comes after the business is over, right? Or after really you've expired, right? We all are called at some point. So for us, that's the, you know, it's a little bit morbid, but that's the guiding timeline, right? Is that what happens after we aren't here anymore? Mm-hmm. What is the legacy, right? And if that's the timeline, then all things are possible, right? Because you're able to go at a speed that is sustainable, right? Anyone will tell you if you try and sprint a marathon, you will fail, right? But if you try and run, a 12-minute mile, you're gonna hit all 26 miles, right? You're gonna do it, right? So if you're able to sort of map that out and really build that framework of, listen, my end goal is to build out a business that leaves a legacy, and here's what I want the legacy to be. Great. Mm-hmm. Let's set up a strategic framework that's going to get you to that legacy. And it may take us 10 years for you to see, you know, your first 7-figure year, right? But it's like a hockey stick. It may be that it's the first 10 years before you get 7 figures, but then in year 11, you're doing 8. Again, it's the same thing that happened to, for example, Warren Buffett, right? For the first 40 years, he was not a billionaire. And now he's one of the richest people in the world. And that happened to him after 60. So, yeah.
But we all want that.
Right.
You know, within the first year. And what's wrong with me if I don't have it?
Right.
Right.
Right. That's because that's what you get bombarded with, right?
Oh, my goodness.
You're scrolling through Instagram. Anytime you're scrolling through Instagram, you're saying, how is this 22-year-old with a Lamborghini in Dubai? And I'll tell you how. They bought a plane ticket and rented a car. That's how they did it. So, you know, that's the fallacy of social media these days.
But Bobby, you know what you get in that first year? You get this process. You get this feeling of, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I'm in the zone. Mm-hmm. You just, you know, you hear confidence, clarity, all of that. And that's all great. But a lot of people talk about that. I think, you know, what we at BAM, the quick wins we really get you is you're making decisions. You're feeling something that you can't really even describe, but you feel it. You're feeling the athlete in the zone, the singer on the stage, and you're really getting that really quick. That can happen. It's great. That can happen really quickly. We see that with our clients, and that's fantastic. And then what you do is then if you just trust the process, if you will, it's like, I'm going to see it materially around me soon. but I got it. It's here. I'm feeling the zone here. So,
right. When you know that you've got the process and that's how we evolve, that's how we get better. I think that is, it's one of the most confidence building things that we have available to us, sure. Really and truly. Reminds me of, I know you're in the Bay Area, but Bill Walsh, you know, way back in the day with the 49ers, when he always said, focus on the fundamentals and the score will take care of itself. Yeah,
so big time Niner fan, Montana, you know, he was the greatest of all time.
Dwight Clark,
Bobby, I love you. Oh my God. Can we do another hour of sports talk after this? Yeah.
I'm always game for that.
I will say one thing, even for non-sports fans, you'll still appreciate this. The West Coast offense, Bill Walsh's offense was based on short passes, 5-6 yards.
Yeah.
Joe Montana was not known for a 70-yard pass play, right? Even with Jerry Rice.
Wasn't a strength. So,
and it just boom, boom, boom. And then they built that foundation and then they had the long run or whatever. But it wasn't the most exciting when you saw it on paper, but when the process was executed, beautiful.
It was perfection. This is
great. I love it.
See, everything comes back to sports with me. Yeah, no, I had a client once and they were a sports company and they sold athletic goods to high schools and colleges. I got to coach 97 of their managers. Some of them are former like professional athletes, college athletes, college. It was the most perfect job. It was like, this is so awesome. Because it was great. I got to talk sports with people and I got paid for it.
So good.
yeah. I wanted to go back to two things you guys mentioned earlier. I don't know why I'm holding up three fingers, but two things. I think Nick, you were talking about it and you said, when people are trying to set their vision, how'd they learn how to do this? And it sounded like maybe they make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
So could you guys hit on that? What are some of the mistakes and what's a better way to, and I know it's a complicated thing, right? But what would be a couple tips for people as far as vision or purpose?
So for me, what people start with when they think of a vision is they think that it's just like a goal, right? And often, I think too often, it's a revenue goal, right? That, you know, I have a vision that I'm going to make $10 million in the next 10 years, right? This tells me nothing about a couple of things. This tells me nothing about why you're in business. This tells me about nothing about what you do. This tells me nothing about how you're going to make that money. And it, really, I don't know why you even value this money, right? So for me, a vision starts with values. And really the question to be asking when it comes to values isn't what do I value? It's what do I want employee number one to embody as my company's values? If I employ you and I say, welcome to the company, here's how we expect our employees to think and behave and act. Because this is what corporations do across America, right? Is they indoctrinate people with the corporate values, with the company's values. And, you know, a lot of people bucket that. They say, oh, no, but individuality can certainly be a value of your company. It doesn't have to be that you're pushing your corporate agenda or your business's agenda on anyone else. I'm just using this as a framework to think about how do you think about your values? What do you, if you value individuality, if you value authenticity, how is that showing up in your business? And how do you say to your employees, we are authentic people here? Mm-hmm. So, you know, Ray Dalio is a great example with Bridgewater.
Oh, yeah.
Radical honesty, right? They videotape every meeting. Every meeting is on video. Why? It's not because they believe that you're going to be cheating or something else. They want to go back and review and say, okay, did this person actually say that, right? Because if you have a problem with what someone said, too often in meetings, people have a problem with what someone said and they keep it in, right? And then they misremember what actually happened. Mm-hmm. So the person, if they've got an issue with it, can go back and confirm and say, hey, you know what? You did say this thing and it pissed me off and here's why.
Yeah.
And you know, this is a tremendous corporate culture for the folks that work there if you like that sort of thing, because that's their corporate value. That's what the company values, radical transparency. And it is, it's very radical, right? Yeah. That you can be completely honest with even senior leaders. But this is a value of the company that translates then into their vision to grow their assets under management by making strategically smart bets, right? this is, that's just sort of kind of paraphrasing their vision, right?
Yeah.
But the, you know, again, a vision should be time bound. It should tell me why you're in business, what you do, and how you do it. Mm-hmm. And all of those things are kind of very much rooted in what do you value? What are your business values? And really that comes from the entrepreneur, right?
And that does become the North Star. Sorry, Casey.
Right.
Yeah, Bobby, it's a great question. I'll just add to what Nick said, where we do a workshop in the beginning and people say, oh, I got my vision. I got my vision. We do
tell
a workshop.
Tell me what it is. And they can't tell you.
Tell me.
Well, or show me. It, you know, the bigger thing, Bobby, is it's not written down anywhere. Yeah. Right? It's, oh, I have it. I have it.
No, you don't. And, sorry.
Yeah. And the employees may not have it, right? The right. Founder. So we do a vision and really we do a workshop. We get it all out. It is so liberating for the team when they do this.
Huh.
For the folks at home, taking score at home, right? Keeping score at home. The vision is the North Star. It's what Nick just described. And it literally tells you what type of world, the vision of the world you want. 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. The mission statement then is the next sentence, which tells you how you're going to do it. So if you think of Google, Google's vision is all of the world's information at one click. All right. Now, how does Google do that? Well, search engine, they've got now Chrome. I mean, they've expanded, right? But then they talk about how they do it. And so we help our clients understand this vision. Now, how do you do that? It's good to hire people who know how to do it. There's just kind of a, like we talked here, like it's not goals, it's not revenue. We dig deep. One of our clients said, you're my business therapist. We dig deep into what's really driving them and we're able to unpack it. This is like a sculpture and we're just kind of chiseling away. It's in the entrepreneur, it's in their employees and we're able to pull it out of them and then we reframe it and really enable that. Now, when you think about when you have this vision, I, after law school, quick story, I made my way to Cuba. I won't tell you how I got there. Different story. you're not recording this, right? So, but I made my way to Cuba and I noticed that there were, under Fidel, there were policemen on every corner. Wow. Every corner of downtown Havana, just making sure. Do you know how expensive that is?
Oh my God.
I mean, just like the lack of trust. I mean, their vision of a world is one lacking trust, is one, I mean, you can go on and on, right? That costs a lot. Now imagine America, and for all we want to criticize this country, it's not perfect, but we don't have that here. There is a social contract. We understand that you stop at a red light. We understand that if you have a protest against the government, sure, fill out a permit and go to that part of the street, but like, it's okay, right? And it's literally two different visions.
Yeah.
Of how to rule and govern. So when you think about, why am I telling this? When you think about a company that has a vision that's restrictive, you have to work here or you have to do this, you're literally, you know how expensive that is. Now, I bring this up because this goes to what Nick said about values. What are the values you have? And you can either through this exercise, look at your values and go, oh my God, I'm a dictator. Like I need to change. Or you go, hey, these are my values. Take it or leave it. And it's your company, mm-hmm. right? But through this process, you're able to shine a light on it, one, and then two, create this vision and this North Star and the mission behind how you do it, which is so clear that not only do you as a business founder get jacked and excited about it again, but all of your employees get into it. And then to what we said earlier, you know what this enables you to do? To say no.
Right.
Oh, business opportunity comes up. You know what? It doesn't fit my vision. I'm going to
pass. Okay.
And that's okay. And it's not my yeah. fault. It's my vision's fault. It's that. Right. It's the project's fault.
Right. But it's okay to say no to those things.
Mm-hmm. It's versus, not only okay, it's required.
That's right. Yeah. Versus I have no way to know if it's okay. You know, when you guys were talking about that, the values and everything, I was thinking about, he's a buddy of mine, a friend of mine, and he was a guest earlier. He has a pizza and brewery in Chicago. You know how many pizza places are in Chicago? I used to live in Chicago. There are a lot. Mm-hmm. He opened it 20 years ago. He still has some of the original employees.
Mm. Wow.
Exactly. Mm. And most of his employees have been there for more than 10 years. And I'm like, Billy, how'd you do that? And he's like, you have to create something that everyone believes in and you know it, and it's lived. Because if it's lived, you know it.
And in real life, he enjoys coming to work day to day, but also when he goes with the family on vacation, like it's all taken care of.
It's taken care of.
And the reason is because he's able to articulate to his team what his values and expectations are.
Yep.
And they've bought into it, right? Yep. He isn't trying to force them into it. He's saying, this is who I am. And then is a projection of that. Here's who my business is.
Yeah.
And if you want to be a part of it, awesome. But if this isn't for you, if you don't like what we're doing here, that's cool too. But don't do that here.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to work out here.
Yeah. It's not going to be a fit.
Yeah. And that's what the best teams in America do. It's what the best corporations in America do.
Yep. Best sports teams do it too.
Yes. Absolutely.
It is. So, okay. So very quickly too, before we wrap up and learn more about you guys, we also mentioned earlier the distractions. You know, what are some tips you guys have for helping people, entrepreneurs, avoid or manage some of those distractions that come up?
Never answer on the same day. Let's say an opportunity comes in. Do not respond. That's step one. And that's the hardest step, right? It's absolutely the hardest step, right? So this thing comes in and you're like, you know what? This is really cool. I want to say yes right now. Don't. Look at it. Say, cool. I'm going to schedule time in the next week, the next day, the next 3 weeks. I'm going to schedule a 30-minute block where I'm going to do nothing but think very clearly and very carefully about this opportunity and how does it fit and does it fit? And again, this is very difficult. it's very easy to say, right? But, you know, really it's almost setting up like almost a post-it note or something that you can see to just says wait, right? Take that minute, right? And really don't just go from the hip because that's how you get in trouble, right? And that's how you get into those distractions.
Yeah, that's great.
It's, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas, I think it was a 12th century early Christian writer. I think Gandhi, this was attributed to them, to one or both of them. But the quote is something like, I've got 9 hours of work to do today. I need to meditate for 4. You know, and you're like, what? Like, just dive right in. But the point is, and meditate could just be like Nick said, critical thing. Go inward, even if it's not 4 hours, but just that, okay. I mean, we know you want to get in, you want to get your to-do list done, you want to answer, it's exciting. But even if it's just spending 10 minutes of quiet, even close your eyes, if the employees aren't around, then, you know, but just what does this mean? What am I feeling? Why? And here's the choice, love or fear. Why would I respond yes? Is it because I feel it's a threat? Is it because everyone else is doing it? Am I doing this out of FOMO? Why would I respond no? Am I playing small? Should I say yes, even though I don't know, because I should play big? Those questions can come up and you don't need to meditate for 5 hours, but even just, 5 minutes asking those questions is a great way to give you that, to make that great decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of going inward, I mean, I always try and make heart-centered decisions, right? So if I take that time to really think about really feeling into my chest and saying, how does this feel? How am I feeling about this? And is the excitement just because I think it can make me money or I'll be famous because of it? Or is the excitement because this is truly aligning to my purpose, to my business's purpose, right?
Yeah.
And these are the critical questions that you don't ask yourself when you respond immediately.
Because you're not giving yourself the time.
You don't even give yourself a chance. You're not setting yourself up for success.
No. I mean, it's what Stephen Covey talked about in what, 7 Habits, that pause. And this is it. We're building the mechanism to have the pause. For me, Nick, when you're saying there about the heart-centered decisions and how would I feel, I think about it like, how would I feel if I say yes? How will I feel if I say no? And usually that's the data I need.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because if you feel like, it feels so much better to say no.
That's your answer.
Say no. Right.
Yeah. You know, and especially if I say, okay, now I've made that decision. And I'm going to sit on it, sleep on it for 24 hours as though I've made the decision. Then if there's any regret, it surfaces, you know? So I love that. So thank you guys. This has been absolutely awesome. Where can people learn more about the BAM boys and all that kind of good stuff?
So, you know, Casey mentioned we're only a couple months old, so we're still building our website, but it's bamcoconsulting.com. You can find me. My full name on Instagram is Nikhil Agarkar. And we can send it in the show links. Casey Berman also on Instagram, and we respond to DMs. You can email us. We'll include that in the show notes as well. We're easy to find. We're certainly not hiding.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Cool. Yes. We'll make sure we got all that in the show notes. That's fantastic. Casey, anything you want to add to that?
As my son ran in here and turned the light off, hopefully it's not too dark here, but you make it in my office doing a podcast and everyone just walks through right at the same time. So it's great. But thanks for having us. This was just so great. We love talking about it. I hope it resonates with everyone. And at BAM, you know, our goal really is to be that resource and to be that strategist, that business therapist. Because, you know, as JD Montoya, the partner, talks about, he says, you know, entrepreneurship is really lonely.
Yes.
And it doesn't need to be lonely. And so we want to make it a little bit less lonely and make it a little bit more of a process driven and really go back to the main reason why you did it in the first place. So
to get that freedom, right? Like we're on that mission to free entrepreneurs off this hamster wheel that they've built for themselves.
That's right.
And show them there can be a better way. There is a better way.
Yeah. It can be. And it is all about the freedom. So this is, again, guys, this has been really great. I took tons of notes. Thank you so much for making time for this and talking a little sports along the way.
Yeah. Thank you for having us. This was great.
All right. I appreciate it.
Beautiful. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I hope that you found that conversation helpful and inspiring. Anytime I get to talk about sports, that just adds to the fun for me. So here are my three insights for thriving. Number one, I loved what Casey said about framing our choices as the choice between fear and love. What are we making our choices based on? And how much more powerful is it when we're coming from a place of love and not fear? Number two, when Nick was talking about identifying the North Star of the business, or your life for that matter, and how by doing that, what we're also doing is setting up the guardrails that help keep us on track. Because that gives us a way to identify which opportunities are right for us and which opportunities really don't fit. I think that is an important question for any business and any person is, what do I say yes to? And conversely, what should I say no to? And number three, kind of tied to this, but late in the conversation when we were talking about distractions and how to manage those, I really love the advice that they both gave. You know, first of all, Nick said, don't respond immediately. Give ourselves that space to really think about the decision before us instead of it being a knee-jerk reaction. This has been something that I had to put into practice for myself years ago, and I can tell you it has saved me some pain over the years. If a person says, hey, I need your answer on this ASAP, I respond and I say, I want to give this request thoughtful consideration, and here's when I can respond. And then number two, Casey said that he makes heart-centered decisions and he asks himself, how do I really feel about it? This is super powerful for me. As I said in the episode, what I do is I imagine myself saying yes. And how does that feel? Now, for me, I tend to feel stress in my gut and in my shoulders. That's my tell. So I imagine myself saying yes. And if my gut clenches or my shoulders tighten, that's a big data point for me. And I also do the same imagining that I've said no. What's my body scan say then? What's my heart say? Do I feel regret? And then my last piece of that is to come up with what I believe my answer will be. And then I live with that decision for a day or two. I fully embrace the decision and I imagine that I've given my answer. If I feel peace with that decision, I know that I made the decision that is right for me. So those are my three takeaways. I hope that you found this episode helpful. If you did, please consider hitting that subscribe button for us. It is one of the best things that you can do. And also, as you know, Apple and different systems, they love to see reviews. So if you're finding value in these episodes, please consider giving us a review. It helps people know what to expect, and it helps us move up in the ratings so we can reach even more listeners. Because that's why we started this podcast, to provide stories and tools to help us all live more fulfilling and truly authentic lives. I believe that each one of us deserves that. And my goal is to help each of you achieve it.